Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Timberwolves and Gophers edition. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very shortly. And if this is your first time listening, hey, welcome. How you doing? It's been a rough one for the Timberwolves. However, in the Gophers, what am I saying? In the Gophers are not going to play. Well, hold on. We still have a miracle. We still can win the bit. Okay, I'll just stop. But anyway, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. For those who listen to in the fall and the winter, to the Purple People Eaters Vikings edition with a little bit of Gophers football on the back end. For those of you who, you know, have been keeping track this year, we appreciate it. But yeah, Timberwolves, Gophers, we're going to talk it up. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and break down all these games. I mean, that's nice to close the season out for the Gophers, regular season, because like I said, I'm still holding out hope, not a lot of it, but it's probably negative percentage. But anyway, we're just going to break some things down. I mean, obviously the Timberwolves, there's been some positive signs beyond the trade. That's been the big positive this year is the trade. But if you look at it, you know, the Miami game was crazy right off the trade, you know. The Clippers game. And then there were some moments where you're like, oh, that's good, that's bad, not so good. But then that Miami game, that was a pretty nice win. We put back-to-back wins. I said it, guys, back-to-back wins. One of them on the road to New Orleans. One of them at Chicago. It really doesn't count in Chicago, but, hey, we suck too. There's been some signs for optimism, and that's one of the questions we are going to address. Which team do you feel more optimistic about for next year, going into next year at this moment? Obviously, there's some things that could change on both sides. Timberwolves could make a trade. We don't know what's up with Turo. Will he go pro? Will he not for the Gophers? But which squad has you more optimistic for next year? Is it the Gophers that have a young team this year? And if they could somehow bring back Daniel, they could really do some damage. Or is it this squad you're seeing without Cat, and you're starting to see the pieces put together? So we're definitely going to break down some of the stuff from a player perspective, whether it's Malik Beasley, you know, whether it's the things that James Johnson offers on the court and off the court from a veteran standpoint, you know, just in general, some things we've been noticing over the last chunk of games. And, you know, to win 3 out of 5 is actually, I hate to say big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. It's really not a big deal, but it's a positive thing because, you know, we don't have our best player, Towns. So, and, you know, D'Lo has been struggling from the field a little bit the last couple of games. We'll talk about him. I don't think the sky's falling with him like I saw a Star Trib. As he go, we go. Well, dude, we're not going anywhere. So where are we going? You know, as D'Lo goes, the Wolves go. Like, come on, dude. Like, what, are we in November? Like, come on, man. It's just weak. But anyway, his shot has struggled, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But and then we'll, of course, so that's Timberwolves stuff. We'll talk about that. It seems like, you know, that small forward position next year is going to be the key. And what are we going to do there? Is it going to be a role player that we already have on our team? Or are we going to bring somebody in? Yada, yada, yada. And then just kind of break down a couple of things with the Gophers since they're done regular season-wise. Things that went good for next year. Things that struggled this year. That stat on 6 points or less as far as the game outcome. That's an interesting one, and it's a nutshell of our squad. And then Arturo, is he going to come back? Is Daniel coming back? And if not, we're going to go over the big situation. It's a big deal. It's not looking good, actually. But they're still recruiting. You never know. He could go in a big, you know, big-time power forward or center recruit could come here. It's not all lost. So we're going to kind of go over some stuff just in general. instead of breaking down games per se. I mean, we could sit there and break down that Gophers game yesterday, but in the end, let's be honest, it really doesn't matter. It feels good, you know, for Gabe to hit all those threes, but if he could have just spread that out, it'd have been nice, just two each game in a couple of games. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, you could find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. Streams live at archives here. However, if you want to listen to the Living in Loserville show here under the Rope It Up Radio podcast, you don't have to listen to it or just download it on Blog Talk. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really across the board, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. In fact, you can head on over to thegruelingtruth.com right now. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And real quick, before we get into this stuff, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you cut the cord and you're just not quite happy, you know, with March Madness coming up, you know, CBS shows, you know, some games, no doubt about it, but there's four other channels that show it. So you need cable is what I'm saying. AT&T TV Now, it's live streaming cable. I do it myself. There's a 7-day free trial, so there's no annual contracts. However, the plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if your internet sucks, or in a region of the air of the country, excuse me, where the internet just sucks right now, you know, it happens in the outskirts especially, you can try AT&T TV. That's your normal cable system. That's available in limited areas up here in Minneapolis and Minnesota, areas in New York, Florida, California, Texas, all the way up to Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. Basically, just Google AT&T TV and put your area code in there, and you can try it out. Otherwise, if your internet's working good enough, AT&T TV Now. Okay, let's get in to some of this talk here. And we're going to start with the Timberwolves, because the Gophers aren't even going to postseason, for Christ's sakes. You know, we've been talking Beasley the last couple. We're going to talk. If you look at, you know, since he's been a Timberwolf, the dude's just thriving. I love his, you know, there's a bunch of stuff I love about him. But let's go D'Lo, because I've noticed some folks kind of jumping on him of late for his off-shooting nights, you know. He's not putting up 22 shots and only hitting four or nothing like that, but his shot has been off. Although I really think that he hasn't been forcing it as a scorer. He has too many turnovers, but I think we said that when we first got him, that there's probably going to be a turnover issue for a while, because he is trying to figure it out. But it does seem like he's really worried about being a point guard and getting his teammates involved more than just being a scorer. I think if he went out and said, I'm putting up 18 to 20 a night for shots, I think he'd be in the 20-25 point range fairly easy. I think if he just wanted to do that, he could. But his shot's been off a little bit. Star Trip Rider was like I said earlier, you know, as D'Lo goes, the Wolves go. Like, it's like we're, you know, I don't know, like 17 and 13, and we're in the eighth spot in the playoffs or something. It's like, dude, where are we going? I just don't understand that. But anyway, yeah, his shot's off. That's great. But you know what? On the court, the guy's been a pretty damn good leader. He's always talking to people. He's always in their ear. He's always pretty focused when talking to a coach. I know some of this sounds kind of like I'm being a fanboy of the Timberwolves or whatever, but you can see people's demeanor, and you can read it a lot of times. And he just seems open in general to help. You know, he's a young guy still, only at 23, 24, but the guy has a lot of experience. He played for the Lakers the first couple of years, had a lot of you know, cameras on him, so to speak, a lot of pressure. He, you know, helped a Nets team that wasn't all that good, especially with an injury that they had to one of their key players, and LeVert helped them to the playoffs last year. So, you know, I still like what I see out of D'Lo, and we haven't even seen the pick and pop and the pick and roll in the 1-2 game. What do you see out of D'Lo beyond the smoothness and beyond the points? I just see him involved, man. You know what I mean? Out there like he is trying to be a leader.
I wasn't really aware of a lot of the criticism about sporadic shooting and this and that. I mean, I really think the media, the reporters are, you know, there's not a lot to write about on this squad right now. So I'm sure they're picking away at some things with D'Angelo, but I've just become a really big fan. I like the way he plays the game. He's got a great shot, good arc on it. He's great in the open floor. Looks like he's in command of the team. I don't think he really knows all the tools in his toolbox yet, which is kind of, like you said, maybe what's leading to some of the turnovers, how to use this guy and when, where to go, how to make, you know, the nuances of this offense and what he wants to do. I think he's just kind of working his way through it and at a pretty relaxed pace because, like you said, I don't think they're going anywhere. Towns is out. So you just kind of want to see what he's working with. And he's got some parts. I mean, Beasley's played amazingly well, and we'll get into him in a little bit. But I really like him, man. I think he's got competitiveness. I think he's got a great shot from just about anywhere. I think he's got the balls to take the shots. I think that in distributing the ball, he's creative. I think he's got a good, you know, a good vision for what he sees. Pick and roll game is going to be amazing with him and Kat, and just all the things that can come off of that. Now, we haven't seen that, and it's hard to tell when Kat's going to be back and we're going to know, but I just really like what I've seen of him. I think it's a solid get for the Wolves, and I think some of that criticism is going to go away when there's someone to share it with, when Towns comes back and you start to see everything come together. I mean, there's a few parts, I think, maybe that we need to get figured out. I'm not sure if Hernan Gomez is a bench player. I think he might be in the long run. You know, Lehman's had some good nights. You know, McGoffin continues to impress. I'm really liking what I see in D'Lo, and I really kind of like what I think the vision is here for the future of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about the media needing something to talk about at this point in the year. And it's similar to, like, during training camp, especially for football. There's really not much to talk about, you know, but they got to find this guy. No, they've been talking to this guy. They mentioned it, and then the guy doesn't make the squad. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. I still like his old – I mean, even the night he had – where he didn't hit a three. He's like 0-7 or something like that. But he had a bunch of boards, had a bunch of assists, steals. So he did fill it up. He's a better defender than I kind of knew coming in. I'm not calling him a stopper, but I'm also not just saying he's just a sieve and he's just going to let it go. And you know, so I am still happy with him, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, another guy, James Johnson, I think next year, money-wise, you know, if we keep Hernan Gomez, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but, yeah, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in, like, what we do with him, just to kind of combo, since they play the same position anyway. But just off James Johnson, the reason why I'm even bringing him up is because what I've seen, but I also know he's going to be here next year. He's got a player option for money that was signed a while ago during those, you know, expansion in the cap, those Gorgie Jang type contracts, you know. So he's coming back. So he's going to be here next year. And I really like him, and especially if he's only going to play 20-ish minutes, because – I think we can actually get some traction out of him over the next couple of years. And I think Gibson the last couple of years before that, what he was to us on the floor and certain things he brought, you could say Gibson is probably better down low, but, you know, for what we're doing too, Johnson can shoot the three a lot better, but I like his hard-nosed play. I like his defense, and you also see him, you know, in the ear of not just Hernan Gomez, in the ear of Beasley a whole lot, and he's not afraid to address a problem quickly, but it seems like he's got a way to talk to people where he's not being a dick, but he may be saying something dickish. You know what I mean? Like, here's the deal, dude. You know, you didn't do that. That's just the bottom line. And they kind of make him laugh or whatever. I just see him interacting with folks on the bench and on the, you know, on the floor, obviously. And which brings me into the much younger player, Hernan Gomez. It's the same thing with Malik, that we have the bird rights. So this year they're both free agents, but you know, it's great in a way of we get to see what the market is for them, not what the maybe market or what the rumored market or another team that doesn't want to go too far but wants to outbid us, so they're going to put it out there that they're going to way outbid us. No. We sign him to like a waiver type deal. We could say, hey, we will give you this. This is what for sure we'll give you. Then we can see what the other teams are going to bid, and then we can decide to match it or not. Now, obviously, Hernan Gomez, I do like. It does seem like he's a good fit. It does seem like he's active. Not necessarily he's active on the boards, but he's not collecting enough of them. I think that has to do with his weight. You know, he's never going to be a guy that you're going to put a bunch of weight on. Strength, positioning, there are some things he can improve on there. But you're right. I wouldn't be shocked or mad just because of defense and just being a veteran, been there, done that with James Johnson, to maybe start him and only play him for the first six, seven minutes and bring Hernan Gomez, who can score and who can actually maybe then get the ball even more. And it's something they can develop maybe long-term, potentially, with Cat, too. And I kind of like how that plays. And also on the court, Aaron, having a guy, you know, pushing Cat up a little bit. Do you got to be over there? You got to be over there calling out things. And, you know, like a poor man's KG. That first year as a rookie when we got him, you could see KG just barking in his ear the whole time, not being a dick, just telling him what to do and sometimes pushing him in the spot he should be in. So I actually am in favor of having James Johnson in the starting lineup and maybe bringing a more offensively gifted guy and oriented guy off the bench in Hernan Gomez. What have you seen out of James Johnson so far? And then you can expand on the Hernan Gomez a little bit if you want, because I hear you. There is – I don't know how much – I mean, it'll probably be only a few-year contract anyway. We're not going to break the bank for him, but I do like what I see out of him. But I just – man, he's skinny as hell.
The one I worry about with the bird rights is Malik Sealy now. Is he under the bird right thing too?
Beasley,
as well?
Beasley,
oh, Beasley. Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
What it comes down to is, are the Knicks or maybe one other team going to just throw the house at him? Otherwise, we should have him because not a lot of folks are going to have cap room next year. But, yeah, we have the bird rights. It's the same thing where we put out that little waiver and say, hey, you'll guarantee this, but let's see what people are going to send you and we'll match it. And like the Knicks and a couple other teams, I guess Knicks aren't afraid to throw money at a player that may not even be worth that money just to try to calm down their fan base. That's just the, you know, like on Twitter and places where people are like, oh, they're going to do that or they're going to do that. That's kind of like a theme out there that's the only team they're scared of making a run at them. But yeah, we do control his bird rights.
Well, that Knicks fan base is rabid right now, and I think they have every reason to. It's hard to see the NBA without a good New York Knicks team, and it's been a while, like probably 20 years or something like that since they've been relevant. That's just kind of for that New York market that needs to change. But going on to James Johnson, he's kind of been what he was brought in to be, that veteran leader. Whether he starts or comes off the bench, I guess, I never really put much thought into it, but now that I am, you know, I guess it would help to have him out there, especially with Cat, because Cat can be so up and down with the tone of his, of how he's going to start a game, that maybe someone like Johnson can make sure that he sets the tone, make sure that Cat's in the right place to start a game. And, you know, like you said, that first 6, 7, 8 minutes, just to make sure, settle things down, get them into what they want to do, and then go ahead and maybe try to get a scorer in there. And, you know, I like the fact, you know, the comparison you made to what's his name from we got from Chicago, Gibson.
Gibson.
That's a pretty good comparison. I think Johnson's a little more athletically gifted, but I think, you know, there's some upside there too with Gibson. But I think that role is kind of a needed role on this team. It's a pretty young team, needs veteran leadership and guys that can handle dealing with the young guys who aren't all that young anymore, but perhaps young in the league and certainly young at winning. And so I think, you know, with D'Lo, I think he's been around enough to see what winning looks like. I don't know where Johnson's been. I think we got him out of Atlanta or something, but I think he's seen enough to know. Beasley seems to be really excited about this squad. He seems to be the one the most excited about it. But I mean, without Towns and knowing that everything's going to mesh together, and that's a whole nother topic, because I'm just not sure what this injury as Towns' wrist is. And, you know, what are they just holding him out and, you know, going to, you know, tank the season? I'm not going to say tank, but just kind of get through the end of the season and make a move in the draft or do whatever they do. But it just seems like a wrist and almost a month is a little bit too much. But
it was a fracture either. I didn't realize that originally when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I'd probably shut him down, though, now that I know he had a fracture. I probably should.
Yeah. And there's so many bones in the wrist. I mean, which one did he fracture? I mean,
you're right. There are a bunch of little intricate bones.
And one bone can mess up another bone. It's an intricate little, I don't know what you'd call it, a combination of bones down in there. So, yeah, it's an interesting joint biologically. But, yeah, and then Hernan Gomez, you know, he's that kind of guy that, I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but it's just not coming to my head. He's just, I think he could be a spark plug guy off the bench. I think he could also start for injuries. He's kind of that 2-3-4 type of dude where you could put him in different places and different lineups. I think he can guard just about anybody but centers and maybe point guards. I think he can effectively guard them. So I think it's a very useful piece. I really would like them to try to sign the guys they got in this trade. I know they moved on with Evan Turner and some of those other guys that were just kind of contract guys. But, yeah, I mean, I like so far what I've seen. I like Lehman. I like Hernan Gomez. I like Beasley. I like Johnson. I like McLaughlin. I just like – I guess I'm just naming everybody. I like everybody on this team. I want to see them sign. But I think if you're going to put priority on it, it'd be interesting to see what you have to say about priority of who needs to get signed. I think you got to take care of Beasley almost at any price, unless you love Culver. And I don't know that you love Culver that much. And then I think you can kind of go down, okay, so you'll spend the money to keep Beasley and then whatever. Who else can ever fall into that with the guys that you – might lose or might keep. But I think the priority needs to be Beasley, and I think you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we have like $30-some million dollars next year now to spend, and he's going to take probably up to – I mean, originally it was like 12 to 15 because that's what a starter makes. But, you know, the way the fucking guy's playing, you know, we may have to go to 20 on him. But still, I mean – I think he's well worth the money because he's just tapping into it. So, yeah, for sure. I don't think that's even a – yeah, there's no question at all with that. Hernan Gomez, as long as nobody – you know, I don't think anyone's going to run at him too hard. So we'll see what we can bring him back for. Another guy as a backup power forward, Naz Reid, has been really, really solid as a – or pretty damn solid as a starter, but – you have that backup power forward with him. I think he's a really a perfect fit for that backup role because you got to remember, you know, he won't be, if Cat gets in foul problems, which he can, right? You pop him in quick. But also, if he's only playing 10, 12, 15 minutes, Sometimes if he's happened to be in the flow, you know, or an injury happens to some other of the bigs, he could play more minutes. So I really like that. Culliver's been steady. Does seem like the last chunk of games he's finding his groove back. You can look at Jake Layman. He got in, you know, the first couple of games. He was just playing him a couple of minutes because he had that damn toe injury. But the back-to-back games, I think these last back-to-back games really shown what he, you know, his worth. I don't know. He might be the starter at small four, but if you look at it, we got a point guard and a backup. We got that figured out. Shooting guard in a backup or whatever we do with the Kogi. You know, I don't know if we'll play. I don't know. It's a little, it's a tad, I'm not going to say small because Beasley and Okogie are long, but for small forwards, they're not ideal. But then again, you know, if you bring Okogie off the bench, is it really worth it bringing him off the bench for what he, the lack of offense compared to starting the game with him? So maybe it will be just some depth. You know, you got your, in my opinion, for what's out there, what's realistic, I think we got our bigs figured out as far as top four. Obviously, Cat and Nas, and then, you know, the guys we've been talking about, Hernan Gomez, Johnson. So, really, it's a small forward, and Jake Layman looks like the only guy that's like a true small forward. So, I don't know. But the whole making a run Knicks thing, you know, that, like I said, that's been online because they have cap money and all that. But, you know, there is a guy that plays shooting guard. What is his name? RJ Barrett for them. So, I mean, how much money are they going to break the bank? Are they going to move him to small forward? I guess they could, but I think he's a shooting guard. And he's so damn long at like 6'6", 6'7", that it really helps. I think he's no longer that big of a small forward. He's just more average. Whereas at a shooting guard, then he could be like, dude, this extra length that we love to talk about in football and basketball really pays off even more. I just think he's a shooting guard. So are they going to throw $20, $25 million at Beasley when they got a different, you know, a guy that's ready to go and they just drafted? I doubt it, but who knows? But I do think we'll retain it. And just talking about Beasley, because, you know, I didn't want to hit people over the head with him, but he just keeps, you know, because we have of late, but he just keeps hitting us over the head. I mean, the guy, 2 games ago, Aaron, he had 28 points, 4 of 5 from three, had 4 assists, couple of boards, but dude, he was 11 of 13 and got to 28 points. You know, it just, the guy is phenomenal in the energy he brings. He's averaged right in that 21-point range, shooting 43% from three, 47 overall, 78, I think, from the free throw line, and that's in the first 10 to 12 games or whatever. I mean, the energy this guy supplies on the court to the crowd, to his teammates, he can get off the dribble. The dude is just an energizer bunny, and you can really tell that he's so happy to start. They had a clog, a 3-deep clog of more experienced or better players than him at that time in Denver. So I understand Denver wasn't going to be able to keep him, so I understand why they got him. For us to flip Covington, love him, fitting in great in Houston, we knew he would. But to get 2 first-round picks and for us to use one and then also flip it for Hernan Gomez and Beasley, like, that was a great trade. But the energy in the I get to start here, we know he's starting here. And, of course, he probably didn't get him in the lineup for the Knicks because it's the Knicks. But this fuck, I can't say enough about this guy, dude. I mean, he can get his 3 off in a blink of the eye. You just give him a little crevice, he's already shooting the 3. And he's just got that, like you said, the swagger, the energy, the guy's just waiting in it. Him in a nutshell, when he got traded, I guess a lot of his teammates liked him a lot or whatever. He came into the to this press area, was saying goodbye to people with, you know, like tears in his eyes a little bit. But on the way out, he said, next time we play, I'm dropping 50 on you guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of dude. He's been waiting, and when he's had time with Denver, he showed he could ball. I mean, this guy is here to stay, and he's already like a fan favorite, dude.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell why he wouldn't be. I mean, he seems to be one of the most consistent players on what we're watching in the squad. Now, I'm going to, you know, project the thought a little bit forward because it could appear to be that it's going to be kind of a wild summer with the Wolves. And, you know, you get yourself to a point where you're going to pursue Booker. I mean, that seems to be what's on the agenda, whatever way you do it with draft picks or, you know. But here we got to ask ourselves, you know, is Booker a better player at that position than Beasley would be? I think some people would say yes, but the way Beasley's been playing, it definitely puts a question mark in your head. And therefore, you know, any deal for Booker would probably have to include a signed Beasley. And is that a kind of deal that we'd want to make? Now, of course, it's all speculation at this point because we don't even know that there's any real interest in Booker, although we're pretty sure that there would be. But, you know, and then you start to question, well, is Beasley worth losing a young Beasley for a Devin Booker? And, you know, I watch them both. They're similar players. I think Booker's got a little something different than Beasley has, but, you know, Beasley's here. We should be able to re-sign him. Could get expensive, but let's hope not. And then if you go and you do re-sign him, he plays so well, and you send him down to Phoenix and get Booker back and probably lose more capital. Like I said, it's not a strong draft this year. We're going to get into why that might be a bad thing for the Gophers. But, you know, you got to start to ask yourself, is courting Devin Booker with us having Beasley in the way he's playing, is that even something that's just a foregone conclusion, or do you have to step back and think a little bit about it a little bit more now? Not just the scoring from Beasley, but he brings a lot of other components, assists, rebounds, in points in transition, effort, the kind of player that you want to see on your team, regardless of who else is on your team, just because you know night in and night out for the last 20 games or however long we've had him, 15, 20 games, it's been consistent. It's been there every night. And you're not necessarily sure that Booker's going to provide that, especially put in with his two best friends. You know, I guess it goes down to a bird in the hand is worth a two in the bush.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely supplies that, I think, Booker. He averages 26 points a game. It's not a bad team, but I think he'd supply a bunch, and he averages more assists. Of course, he has the ball more there as well. So, I mean, but, you know, he's averaging 6.5 assists with a 9 assists a night Rubio on his team. That might be getting them better shots or whatever, too. But as far as just, you know, him in general, I think he is worth it. But, you know, what is he? He's shooting 36% from the three right now. He's a pretty damn good shooter. He could be a volume scorer, but the guy is freaking really offensively talented. But you're right, though. Beasley would be in there. Just off, you have to give him stuff and money. You know, these things have to match up within a certain percentage. It used to be 15%. I think it's a little bit more now, but I love that. That came in the 99 lockout where they had it so you couldn't do what baseball can do. Midway through the season, you can just fire sale everything. And obviously, it's a different game. They have a real minor league and different development system and how not many players come in the league ready to play like, you know, you see in basketball. So it is different. But, I mean, Culliver and him, I think, would have to be part of that trade for sure. So I guess the thing is you get the big three, right? Obviously, you want to see some tickets sold. You think just sold some tickets a second ago. You get him up here, and this place would – I mean, they would buy a bunch of tickets for Booker because he is a young stud. He's a youngster in general. He's only 23 years old. So getting him up here would be worth it because you have the assets to where in 2 years, if it's not working, none of these guys are going to be overpaid enough by the time where that cap goes that – and not even cap goes, just off what they do, what they produce. Booker and Cat will always be tradable. That's what I do know. In D'Angelo, to a minorly less extent than Booker, and I think we have the front office to put the minor pieces in place, the little tooling around the roster. What I mean by that is a guy making a couple mil, but he's going to be a glue to your starting lineup. And, you know, this guy's proven his track record, what he did in Houston and what he's done already here, that he could, the reason why I bring that up is because that's going to be like 90 mil for three players. So you're going to have to find some quality role players that aren't going to cost you.
I couldn't agree more, but I really feel like, you know, Booker, like you said, he's definitely a quality player. You put those three together, you're going to sell tickets, you're going to have excitement, you're going to do all that other kind of stuff that you want to do for this franchise. And you're going to, like you said, you're going to have to find bits and pieces to put around it at a decent cost. But reading the tea leaves, it really seems like that's the direction that we're headed. I mean, it seems like we're accumulating a high draft pick. It seems like we're accumulating assets and players, tradable assets in certain positions. And I really feel like, now, am I wrong? But I remember the speculation was that we'd have to wait for Booker, not the next coming season, but the season after that. Is that because of free agency, or what was that? That was something I heard back in when we were trying to get D'Angelo, and they're like, we'll try to get Booker too, but you have to wait another year for that. And I guess with a trade, that wouldn't really matter. And if you can get yourself a package, which it's going to have to be, you know, first round picks or first and second round picks, Beasley, Culver, combination of some players, which also will dump some salary and allow you to pay Booker. But then you got to deal with at some point, who's going to get your max deals and all that stuff down the road. And, you know, I think D'Angelo's here and untradeable. I think Kat's here and untradeable at the moment. And then, the rest is just going to be trying to get Booker if you can from the Phoenix Suns. And they're obviously, they know we want him. They know we'll pay for him. So I guess it's going to be a pretty high price, to get him. And if Beasley's part of that, which he probably will be, you know, is it cutting off your nose to spite your face? I think you said that you didn't think so because Booker's such a great player. You know, but you never know what can happen.
I'm good either way. I was just telling folks that we're going to have – it's going to fucking clog the shit up of our cap if we bring him on. You know what I mean? For the next like 3 to 5 years. So we'd have to get a bunch of role players, but I do trust that he can be traded. He can be traded.
Yeah, I of course he could be traded. I just, you know, no, I want to see him. I guess what I'm saying is I just want to see him develop
a question about
Booker. Oh, you say Booker, right? Yeah, well, I think that's free agency, right? He'll get that not this coming season, but the season after that. If we want,
he's under contract. He already signed his extension. He'll come up here extended.
So it would have to be trade.
Yep.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
But
so
he's already locked in. So
it's what are we looking at for price wise? Are we looking, whatever first round picks we can get together and probably a player or two? I mean, that's what it seems like.
It would have to be more than a player or two, probably. But it kind of matters, you know. I mean, we can't get into it too deep on this podcast right now because it's kind of detailed. But it really matters because we don't know what Beasley signed for. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say what he signed for. I don't know. Maybe that would be maybe a sign-in trade that they would do if we gave him the draft picks this year. And so it could happen before free agency, before we even sign him. But he could agree to a deal. But that's a really tough question to get into because we don't know what he's going to make.
Well, in summation, I just feel like that's probably what we're headed to. Whether we can pull it off or not is another question, but I feel like they're setting themselves up to make that offer.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what this guy wants, he tries to get. You know what I mean? That's for sure, because he was talking about, you know, Russell, or that rumor was out there, you know, in the off season and all that. So, yeah, it does seem like that. I'm okay either way, because – you know, if we just are able to keep Beasley, then we have a little bit more maneuvering, you know, in the future. And we can bring in a quality small forward for, you know, $10 million off the exemption and then put some more on top. I mean, we'll see. We're not going to get too deep into that. I mean, I guess we kind of did, but no longer that much deeper because there's a lot of ifs right now. But I'd be okay with both. I'd be okay with both. Do you lean one way or the other, like we might as well try to get the big three here? Or would you be okay since we've seen what Beasley can give if we didn't cap us up for the next, you know, chunk of years, which, especially if one of those guys gets injured, then it really fucks you, you know?
That's a great question, and that's why you're kind of mixing it up in your head, too, because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, well, you know, you got to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, and if you're going to – a lot of your depth is going to go, at least the depth that you think you can count on and what you've built here already, for one player who can offer a great deal to you, but one injury happens and then you're back to two stars. It's a whole thing. It's one of those, do you want to take the chance or not? So I guess that's what you're asking me. I would do it, I think, because I've seen Rosas find diamonds in the rough, like we talked about earlier in a podcast, to fill spots and spaces. And you can't ever plan for injury. Yes, they'll happen, but you can't ever plan that they're going to happen. I mean, so you got to kind of overlook that and say, okay, so you got a three-headed monster with D'Lo, Booker, and Karl-Anthony Towns. That seems pretty powerful in the Western Conference, and you'd like to give that a shot if you have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. I lean that way. I'm okay with both, but I'm right there with you. Plus, like we reiterated here, the fact that all three of them are tradable, especially the top two. They're tradable in a couple of years anyway. So you're not going to lose out on it in the long run. I think you can always trade these guys. And that's the same with Cat. Like, people are like, let's trade him now. It's like, no, dude. No, why? Why would you trade him now? It makes no fucking sense. And we might as well – these guys are 23 and 24. We might as well see what we got and let these old dudes get old. You know what I mean? And let's see what 2 years from now looks like. We can always trade Cat, dude. He's a statistic. You know, the guy can put up stats. And in the long run, that's what people get traded for or I should say sign contracts for. Let's switch to the Gophers real quick. We're not going to spend a ton of time on them. Little too late for Gabe in the 3-point fest, to close the season. He hit what, 8 of them? I think he tied the record. So that's fun and that's great and everything like that. A little too late. Let's see here. So on January 26, 2014, a guy named Malik Smith had 8 three-pointer makes versus Nebraska. And now, you know, that was tied up. But if you look at a non-Big Ten game, Blake Hoffer, the excellent three-point shooter, he hit 8 in 2009. So, I mean, it's, you know, what he did was really nice. The problem is he went from 41% to 35%, and that 35% is misleading because of the last couple of games. It was lingering around 33, 34, and actually was in the 31, 32 range like 3 weeks ago. So, Gabe, going into the junior year, Gabe needs to just be more consistent. He is defending. He is doing things for the club, but we need more consistency out of him. I do think Arturo got snuffed for the first team all Big Ten. Maybe that's because the team record sucks, but golly, the dude, he was second in points. So okay, well, he wasn't first in points. I mean, he was second. Okay, but, you know, he led it in rebounds. He led it in blocks. You know, the guy led some divisions here. You know what I mean? Some stuff here in the conference, I should say. So, little kind of strange there. But, you know, when you're not in a winning program right now, you know, the way it turned out, I'm sure that had something to do with it. Carr got 13. So, his first year as a Gopher compared to his freshman year in the Big East with Pittsburgh. We got a lot out of them. And obviously we just played these guys too much. You know, I mean, we just played too many minutes. I think they wore down. So, you know, we were talking about this off air. We both respect Dan Marrero. I mean, the guy, Marrero's, you know, he's been solid. He is solid. He's, you know, he's really good. He's got a shtick, the negative shtick to keep, though. And the way he talked about some of these players, he barely mentioned Marcus Carr as someone for next year to come back and look and say, you know what, we got some players here. You know, he said basically there's not another guy on the squad. And to me, I don't agree with that because, you know, if the center leaves, you know, that means more shots for other folks. And we do have some things to retool, I should say, as well. And just they were young. Like we said, they've been young and dumb. And I think that next year they're going to take some steps. We saw some steps in general. Obviously, the biggest thing to look here, you know, is the big man Daniel. Is he going to go or not? Is he a lotto pick about a month and a half ago when you look at the mock drafts? Seemed like a lotto pick to me. I just chose six. I Googled and went to the first six I found before the show. Four of them didn't even have him in the first round. One of them had him late first round. One of them did have him in the lottery. I think it was 8 or 13 or something like that. I don't remember. But, you know, what's your gut? We talked about this a little bit off air. We've been talking about it all year a little bit here and there because of next year. But what's your gut now that we've seen him, you know, develop from freshman to sophomore year like we didn't think he'd develop? This guy is a stud. His three-point range is a little skewed numbers-wise because he only took 50 on the year. But we did see more of it down the stretch. We got to give him credit. Going into the year, he definitely wasn't any kind of stretch anything. But he did get better. Tells you he's working on it. Scouts like that, too. What's your gut telling you? You know, he says he loves Minnesota even after the game. Him and Patino's been open, like, hey, if he's a lottery pick, we're pushing him out the door. But he's also made sure to say he hasn't been strong enough in some ways. Physically, yada, yada, yada. A couple of these bigs in the Big Ten, we're not even talking about professional bigs, we're talking about Big Ten bigs, have been eating his lunch minorly. What are your thoughts, dude? Because, man, you know, that question that we were asked here about optimism, which squad are you more optimistic for next year or, you know, Timberwolves or Gophers? I mean, it really tilts on Daniel, you know?
So I'm split on this one. My gut says he stays. My brain says he goes. Here's why my gut says he stays. It's going to be a powerful team with him next year. With the kid coming in from the Kentucky, the Mashburn kid. Another year around the pike with Carr. Kelsher probably refine his shooting a little bit. Peyton Willis improves a little bit. You get some of these parts that played a little bit of time, playing a little bit more minutes next year. Because, yeah, we did play these guys just too much, and we didn't really have a choice. There wasn't a lot on the bench that could play. And that really, I think, had something to do with them not closing out games very well, just tired legs and really just trying to pull it out with heart there. So I think he's going to see the potential of next year, and especially with, I'm not going to say failure this year, but the inability to make the tournament where he probably really wanted to go back to the tournament, and a chance to do that next year could be enticing enough. You know, and he's from Minnesota. If he wasn't a Minnesota kid, I think he would lean more towards going. But I think the gut in his heart's going to have him stay now. My brain, on the other hand, is telling me that's a pretty weak draft coming up, as we mentioned earlier. At least we see it to be sort of weak, and particularly in the power forward center position, where if he shows out well in the Big Ten tournament and with what he's already done, leading categories in a tough conference like the Big Ten, the ability to show that he can shoot the outside shot, if he tests the combine like you said, we could probably say he's going to go. But like I said, it's going to be hard to say that he's not going to be in that top 15, when all things are shook out. I mean, if he's there, it would be pretty surprising to me if he's projected to be top 15 pick and he doesn't go. And so, and I really feel like when all the sand goes through the hourglass that he's going to prove to be probably a top 15 player in the draft, just purely on potential in a weak draft, that he'll come out. But I do think if there is a player who would reject that with what he saw with Amir Coffey, with what he saw with a lot of high hopes and disappointment, to come back to the Gophers and have a really great year and kind of fulfill or put a stamp on Patino's legacy here at the U. I think it's something he signed up for here at the U, and I think he would stay to do that. Now, again, that's a gut feeling. Interesting to know what you think, your gut and then your brain on this subject.
My gut is growling a little bit. I'm a little hungry. So I can't really get, no. I'm with you. I do actually think he's going to come back. I do. But I do stand by, like you mentioned, like we talked about off air, that if he does go to the combine, he's good as gone. And I don't think it's a situation, you know, where he's just going to go and show the scouts something. He's been a stud. You know, and I think that his improvement from the three, or just outside in general, late in the season definitely helps. But yeah, I think if he goes there, he's good as gone. I'm with you. I actually think he's going to come back, and maybe that's just the hope in us. Maybe that's just the homer in us. You know, it could be, but there is, it's just enough times where he showed something against a big solid center. And yeah, the power forward center is not where it was in the 90s. We know that. But there's still a lot of good centers and a bunch of good power forwards. And it's not like he's got the stretch thing down pat. You know what I mean? So I kind of think he's going to come back. I feel like there was enough moments where he came up short against certain centers, and, you know, that stuff's on tape. And I think that there was enough talk of him being realistic in what he was saying, too, not just Pitino, because Pitino's always said, you know, that if he's a lotto, we're going to push him out the door, but you know, people don't get drafted in January, and he is right, because here we are looking at these mock drafts, and 4 out of 6, I couldn't even find him in the first round. Of course, Coffey, I couldn't find him the first 2 rounds. And guess what? He didn't get drafted. So I don't know. This is a different situation because, like you said, the potential and whatnot. But I do think he's going to stay. Maybe he's gone. I don't know. But if he is gone, you know, the biggest bright note still needs to gain a lot of weight at 6'9", 210-ish, is that Isaiah Innett. That guy can shoot the three. He's very active, not just in the post as far as defensive, but, you know, when he did have to switch or get on a guard, he showed, you know, some life. I like him. He'll definitely be a starter next year if Ventura's gone. If he's not gone, he may be a starter. Otherwise, you got a Morsa, who's, you know, a good couple of minutes Band-Aid guy who I really love his energy on the bench and in, you know, and he'll be a junior. So when he gets in the game, he does do something. We have Curry, who, you know, what can you do? Play him 13 to 15 minutes tops because of his injury status. Or who even knows? You know, it took him like a half a year, the last injury, to even look the same. And now he's got another injury that he's out for the whole year. I don't really know if you could depend on that per se. Sam Freeman is a guy who saw very limited minutes, especially late, though, 6'10", 240. He's a guy that could give us minutes. We got somebody coming in, a big stretch four, but that's 2021. That's not next year. Will we have to go down the transfer route again? You know, the graduate transfer. This graduate transfer wasn't a good fit. You know, he was a little too soft in his game. He just wasn't really a good fit, I believe. It's nothing against Demmer, but to me, it just wasn't a good fit. he wasn't horrible, but he just, he didn't really, I don't know, he freaking hit some threes late in the season, of course. He was supposed to be that stretch four, didn't really happen, but it's just a hodgepodge of bigs, and none of them really stand out if he doesn't come back. But if he leaves, Daniel, I'm speaking of, there is still room to sign a pretty damn good big in this recruiting cycle still. We still have one left, and that's if he leaves, then that means we'd have two.
And if he stays, he rules the Big Ten as far as down low. I mean, the Iowa kid will be gone. The Michigan kid will be gone. I mean, he will be the premier front court player going into next season, and that can only help to move you from pick 16 to pick 3, you know, if that's what you want to do. And you get that extra year of growth and muscle and development, learning some defensive technique and things like that that he's going to need to know going into the league. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You go in top 10, there's the payday that you wanted your whole life. So,
right.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell. But if I were him, and I'm certainly not, but if I were him, I would really seriously think about staying just because the cards are lined up for you, barring injury, to have a spectacular All-American season next season if he stays. And I think that's got to be on the table for him. If his growth from year from 2 to 3 is as good or better than it was from 1 to 2, I mean, that's going to be a top 5 pick, you would think, next year.
Even 75%, you know, of what he did, or 60%. I mean, you're right. He can really.
His size and athleticism.
He can shoot too now, you know?
Right. And that's just going to be nothing but more dollar signs if that's what you're looking for, plus another year in school. Chance to go to the tournament, see what you can do with a really great team, who projects to be a really great team. And like you said, the Inan kid, who's a nice piece, who could slip to that 3 spot with Oturu in there. And then you've got a long, lean guy that's going to can run the floor, shoot the 3, play that small forward, also play the 4 to help get Oturu a break. I mean, there's a lot of things that's going on. Now, he leaves, like you said, the alternative that he leaves. The Mashburn kid will come in. Like you said, he got some room for maybe a couple transfers. I wasn't so down on Demir's coming in. He just wasn't as productive as some other grad transfers that we have. I mean, the other grad transfers that we had really made a mark on the program and were really pretty good players. For what Demir was, I think, you know, he's kind of on a great team. He's a bench guy off the bench, a big that can come in and give you 20 minutes or something. And rebound, play defense, get some bunnies, that type of guy. Put into a role as a starter where he's asked to produce points, might have been a little too much for him, and like you said, kind of made it a bad fit. But, I mean, you took what you got with him. And it is a tough schedule and not a lot of depth. So, I mean, back to the Arturo thing just quickly. I really think he stays because it's all lined up like a birthday cake for the kid when he comes back. Now, he could say, okay, screw that, give me my money. And if he goes in the first round, you can't really fault him for it. But he is giving up what could be an epic season next year at the University of Minnesota.
So the two guys coming in, one of those guys, both of them are 4 stars, doesn't always mean much, but I think one of them will definitely be a productive player. Carr, Kolscher, Willis, Inan, Williams, we need to definitely see more out of. Morsa would be nice to get more out of him. You wonder if that Greenlee kid, as a backup point guard, can develop. So there is some talent coming back that now has another year to grow. And yeah, as far as like how deep it can go, it definitely depends on Daniel. But like I said, I mean, there is a power forward. We could get out there and it wouldn't have to be a graduate potentially either. It could be just the guy who says, oh, Daniel's gone, I'm going to fill in. There's obviously a starting spot open, so I'm going to go get it. So that could be the case. We'll see. Anything else you'd like to cover before we get on out of here, sir?
I guess the big question is, which team am I more optimistic about for next season? And I'm going to say with the whole thing with Daniel up in flux, I got to say I'm more optimistic about what's going to happen with the Timberwolves next year, just because it's about time. They're due. It appears to be lined up where they'll have a season, possibly a playoff season, a legitimate playoff season, not maybe an 8 seed, but could possibly be a 6 or a 5, something like that, if all goes well. The Gophers with Oturu, hugely optimistic, as I've already pointed out. Without Oturu, I think you'll be a tournament team. I just think it'll be a lower-seeded tournament team. So I'm optimistic for both, but I'll give the edge to the Timberwolves for next season.
I'm right there with you on that one because I know we know what we got in Beasley, so even if they don't do the trade, I still like a squad for next year. Whereas there's just so – yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but we pretty much have an idea we're going to bring Beasley back. So no matter what, we'll move forward. So I'm right there with you. We just don't know with Daniel. I agree with you, sir. All right. Well, that's it for the Living Loser of a Podcast. Let's hope for a miracle. 4 in a row from the Gophers and get it. And that would suck for Michigan or Purdue. If the Gophers ran the table, it'd be like, oh, you're off the bubble, dude. Get off the bubble. So that'd be phenomenal. It's not going to happen. We will, though, keep this. You know, last year we kind of had been done with the Wolves right at the time because there wasn't much to talk about by that time. Covington never came back. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, was just done. Whereas the Gophers are making their run right now, right? So we were Gopher heavy. Well, it's going to flip. We're going to be T-Wolves heavy these last couple of shows of the season in this last month, basically month and change of the season. We may not break down every single solitary game or nothing like that, but we may, you know, if we're coming off a game the night before, you know, that type of thing, or that night and it's over and we do a show or something, we'll break down some games, no doubt about it, but it's really just kind of seeing how all this stuff blends. But like I said, if you're listening to the Living in Louisville podcast in general, you've been doing it since September for Vikings football, we will have, you know, more than likely we're going to have a free agency show before the draft. Last year we didn't because, you know, we got Josh Klein and that was it. We didn't really do much, which, hey, I like Klein. No problem there. If we can get another left, if we get a left guard Klein-ish, I'll be damn happy. But it seems like some heads are going to roll and some caps are getting cut and some extensions are probably going to be talked about or happening. So more than likely, we will blend in a Living in Louisville Purple People Eaters podcast before we get all the way to late April in the draft. We'll probably have enough activity, enough content to do one unlike last year. So we'll probably have that, you know what I mean? More than likely. Now, if not a lot of stuff happens, well, we're probably going to have one then because we'll be pissed off. You know, if it's status quo and roll it in next year, let's see what we got, then we'll have a rant podcast. So either way, we will be back next week at some point. Thanks for listening. Enjoy what's left of the Gopher season. Maybe just one game. I hope not. But especially the Timberwolves, it's kind of fun to watch them right now just because of things to come. We're out of here, you guys. Take it easy. Peace.